It's always great to see everyone. And again, congratulations to Deborah as she was baptized on July 4th. Let's be praying for the church in Haiti. Like many of us know, their president was assassinated, unfortunately, overnight. And I understand his wife was also hurt. And she's just been flown to Miami to get some more medical attention. But the airport is closed. The border with the Dominican Republic has been closed. There's a lot of tension in the capital, Port-au-Prince. So please, let's be praying. Sean Bounds, who is kind of responsible for, you know, a lot of our churches in the Caribbean, was talking to the leader earlier today. And so please, let's be praying for them. I know many of us are from Haiti and we do have relatives over there, but let's be praying for Haiti. As a matter of fact, let's go to God in prayer at this time. Father, we thank you, God, for being our God. Father, we know that nothing happens by accident. I pray, Lord, that you come and bring about peace in Haiti. I pray, Father, that evil will not prevail. But instead, Father, I pray, Lord, that you will turn the entire nation even towards you during this time. Please be with all of us, all your children that have relatives over there. I pray you keep everybody safe. I pray, God, Father, that even through all this stuff, that your name will continue to shine and be glorified. We thank you for tonight. Father, be with me, Father, as we start looking at the book of Exodus tonight. We ask and we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Exodus. I hope we've started looking at the book. It's the second book in the entire Bible. In January, I started talking about Hebrews, and we finished that about 2 months ago. And I promised us that once we were done with Hebrews, I was going to pick a book in the Old Testament. So I've picked Exodus, and that's what we're going to be talking about prayerfully over the next, you know, several weeks in this summer and into the fall. And you say, how long is it going to take? I have no idea. But it has 40 chapters. I'm not going to go chapter by chapter like I did with Hebrews, because Hebrews was pretty short. But I will, you know, summarize stuff when the need arises. But I'm really looking forward to the things that we're going to learn from the book of Exodus. And so I've titled this Exodus, the Movement of God's People. The Jewish rabbis called Exodus the book of names. Because when you open up to Exodus chapter 1, it starts with the names of the sons of Jacob or Israel, same person, who had moved to Egypt from Canaan to avoid the famine that you and I read about in the book of Genesis. And Exodus is central to understanding the message of the Old Testament. It is a crucial book because it talks about the deliverance from slavery to freedom, obviously, for God's people. And that deliverance, brothers and sisters, actually foreshadows our redemption as Christians from darkness to light. And so tonight, all I'm really going to do is hopefully introduce the book. And then next Wednesday night, we'll start in chapter 1. Again, Exodus is the second book in the Bible. The first five books in the Old Testament are called the Pentateuch. They're Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers is a continuous narrative. And then the last book is Deuteronomy. And the story in Exodus begins centuries after the close of the book of Genesis. Again, you and I are very familiar with the story. The Hebrew people are in Egypt, where a new Pharaoh comes into power and does not know all that Joseph had done to save the nation of Egypt. And He came into power and he says, you know what? These foreign people, they're growing and multiplying within our borders. And he saw them as a threat. And if you think about it, the events that are even happening right now in the 21st century in our country, very, very similar, where you and I know that they're telling us in the next probably 2 decades, you know, people from, you know, Latin America will be the predominant race in this country. And believe it or not, there's some people that are very fearful of that. And so something similar was what was happening in the beginning of Exodus. And he was afraid that the Hebrews would stage an uprising and decides to enslave them. He tries to kill the male babies, but they kept on growing. And the Latin form of the Greek word for Exodus means to exit, okay? And it's a major history of God's people in the Old Testament. Again, like I said a few minutes ago, the message is really critical to understanding how God feels about his people. They have been in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. And then God decides to respond to the cries of his people. He obviously sends them Moses, who was his chosen leader, and who proceeds miraculously to bring them out of Egypt. Again, the story of the Exodus is told over and over again in the Bible. Again, most religious scholars believe that all 5 books were written by Moses. And that sentiment is actually supported in the Talmud and in in some New Testament scriptures. You say, well, you know, remember that the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of religious scholars believe that the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, was written during the years they were in the desert, wandering in the wilderness. Remember, again, we're going to get to it. God wiped the adults out because of their lack of faith. And it was their kids who grew up who went into the promised land. And so you can write these references down if you want. Matthew 19, verse 19. Mark 12, verse 26. Luke 16, verse 31. And John chapter 5, 46 to 47. Again, most religious scholars believe that Moses wrote the first 5 books in the Old Testament called the Pentateuch. The key theme throughout the entire book is the theme of deliverance, where God sets free his people so that they may serve him. He didn't deliver them just to deliver them. He delivered them out of bondage and introduced himself to them so that they could worship him and serve him. Here are some of the key characters in the book. Obviously, Moses. Pharaoh is another key character. Aaron, that's Moses' brother, older brother. Miriam, Moses' sister, and obviously the Israelites. Moses' name is mentioned 828 times in the NIV. That's a lot of times. Okay? And just like we saw in when we're looking at the book of Hebrews, to the Jews, Moses was everything. Pharaoh is mentioned and referenced 270 times in the Bible. Aaron is mentioned 353 times. Miriam is mentioned 13 times. And Israel, the Israelites, the whole race, is mentioned 1,840 times in the Bible. And so again, this goes back to the fact that this is a major story that you and I need to understand as God's people in the Old Testament. If you understand Exodus, you're going to understand a lot of what the Bible talks about. And so I'm excited that in the next several weeks, we're going to take the book apart. There are a couple of key verses. And the first one is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when God basically introduces himself to Moses. God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God gave Moses this response when Moses said to God, you know, what if they ask me, you know, what's your name? And God says, I am who I am. And I'm thankful. Mike Facey played, we listened to There Is a God Who Is Alive, the great I am. Amen. It was awesome, you know, hearing that tonight. Because this is one of the key verses in the book. When God introduces himself as Yahweh, as God Almighty. And then the second key verse is in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. It says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Okay? So those are the two key themes that you're going to find in Hebrews. Again, it's a redemption story. It's a story about how God delivered his people from bondage and brought them to the land that he had promised them. Now, let me give us a breakdown of the book. The first part, chapters 1 to 18, talk about redemption for God's people. Chapters 1 to 18, redemption. And then from chapters 19 to 24, covenant, where God enters into a covenant with his people. And then finally, worship from chapters 25 to 40. Okay? And we're going to see some very interesting things there. When we get there. Again, there are 40 chapters in the entire book, and I will not go in chronological order. Again, I would summarize things when it calls for it, but I believe we're going to learn a lot, okay? This covenant here that God entered into in the book of Exodus was the third covenant God had entered into with his people. The first one was with Noah in Genesis chapter 9, and then the second covenant was with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and also in chapter 15, okay? And so this is the third covenant that we're going to see that God is going to enter with his people. Okay, so let's talk about the breakdown of Exodus. The first part, like I said, chapters 1 through 18 talk about redemption, where the Lord delivers his people. Again, I encourage you to take pictures of the slides. I know you can't type this fast, but I wanted to give us the outline so that as I go on, okay, you'll be able to understand where we are in the narrative, okay? Obviously, the Lord calls a leader. That's Moses. We see that in chapters 1 to 4. And obviously, it also includes Moses' birth. And then from chapters 5 to 10, we see the stubbornness of Pharaoh, where he refused to let God's people go. And then after that, from chapters 11 to 15, we see eventually Pharaoh saying, okay, fine, you can go. And I've always felt if he had just listened the first time, you know, he wouldn't have brought all these problems that he brought on himself and on his people. It's always easy to just obey God the first time instead of trying to be a strong man. Because if you try and fight God, you're going to lose every single time. But anyway, and then after that, from chapters 15 to 17, we're going to see God providing for his people. And then in chapter 18, where God counsels Moses, okay? So that's the redemption part from chapters 1 to 18. And then the second part talks about covenant, where the Lord claims his people. He enters into an agreement with them. He enters into a treaty with them. And that's what a covenant is, okay? And in chapter 19, and those are chapters 19 to 24. We see In chapter 19, the people prepare to enter into that covenant with God. And then chapters 20 to 23, we see where the Lord declares his law. And that's what we're going to read about, the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses and inscribed on two tablets of stone, front and back. Okay? And so a lot of times when you see the Ten Commandments being depicted, you know, you see two stones and they're both written, you know, five on one side and five on the other. That's not actually accurate, because scripture tells us that God wrote the commandments on front and back of both tablets. Okay? But that's a freebie. You'll see that later when we get there. And then in chapter 24, it talks about the covenant where it was confirmed by blood. All right? And then the final section of Exodus is about worship, where again, from chapters 25 to 40, where the Lord dwells with his people. And then from chapters 25 to 27, and also 30 to 31, we see him giving instructions about the tabernacle, where God decided, okay, I'm going to come dwell with you. I'm going to come dwell amongst you. Okay? And he set up the tabernacle, and he gave them very specific instructions. And you're going to see how, when we get there, there were parts of the tabernacle that later on, when the temple was built by Solomon, okay, it was the same design, obviously, on a much bigger and grander scale. Okay? And then you're also going to see, like I alluded to in Hebrews, where the tabernacle, where you see Jesus fulfilling several of the things that you are going to find in the tabernacle. All right? And that's why when you fast forward to the New Testament and a place like John 1, where it says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us and made his tabernacle amongst us. You start putting all this stuff together and it makes sense. Obviously, chapters 28 and 29, it talks about the consecration of the priests. Okay? And you and I, as Christians today, the Bible considers us a holy priesthood. Okay? Back in the Old Testament, you know, there were a few priests that were ministering before God in the tabernacle. Okay? And later on, obviously, we're going to see it was the tribe of Levi. But in the New Testament, we are all priests. Okay? In a spiritual sense, that we're a royal priesthood. All right? Chapters 32 to 34, we read about the disobedience of the people. Okay? And God dealt with that disobedience and their grumbling and their complaining. Chapters 35 to 39, we see the construction of the tabernacle. And again, God had very specific items that needed to be in the tabernacle, even the dimensions and what they needed to use. It was all clear. And you and I are going to look at it. And the amazing thing to me is they carried out the instructions exactly as God told them to. Okay, and then obviously, finally, in chapter 40, God's glory now enters the tabernacle when God starts to dwell amongst them in the Holy of Holies. All right, so let's talk about Exodus. Again, this is just summary and overview. The Exodus of Israelites, brothers and sisters, from Egypt is very similar to ours. It's very similar to our journey. They were enslaved physically in Egypt, and God brought them out and delivered them and took them to a promised land. You and I today, we were enslaved in sin. We were in bondage to sin. And God came to deliver us from the power of the enemy. Okay? Like we're going to read and see in Exodus, they couldn't deliver themselves. God had to come deliver them, just like he's delivered us. And for us, he sent a deliverer in Jesus Christ, his son, to come deliver us from darkness to light, out of the bondage of sin. And we are also, spiritually speaking, on our way to our promised land, which is heaven. Heaven exists. Heaven is a place. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. That is where you and I are going when we leave this world. Death is simply the door that every human being has to go through. And if they're Christians, they're going to end up in heaven. And if they're not Christians, I don't care how sincere they are. It doesn't matter how religious they are. They are not going to go to heaven. They will end up in Hades. Okay? That's the Greek word for hell, for the place of the dead. In Hebrews, it's Sheol. All right? But we are on a very similar journey on our way to our promised land, which is heaven. And just like for them, when God brought them out of Egypt, he provided for them along the way. That's just an amazing thing to do. He provided for them the whole time. The same is true for us, brothers and sisters. Where God is providing for us as we make our way towards heaven. And we got to be very, very careful. Because if we make the same mistake that they did in terms of not believing that God loves us and he's on our side and he's going to take care of us, you will not make it to heaven. Because God is not going to put up with that kind of unbelief. Faithlessness and unbelief is an insult to the God who spoke this universe into existence. And that's why this story, when you and I truly understand it, we're going to see how it is very similar to our journey. And I believe God put it in here so that you and I will not make the same mistakes that these guys did. Because none of the adults who left Egypt, except for Joshua and Caleb, entered into the promised land. That's an incredible thing if you think about it. It was their kids who grew up who entered eventually the promised land. All the adults, 20 years and over, God wiped them out in the wilderness. And when they wiped them all out, that was now when they were able to enter the promised land. Because you do not treat God with contempt and think you're going to get his blessings and his rewards. It just doesn't happen. And so it's very, very important that we learn from their mistakes. And we go into this looking at their story and seeing ourselves in their story and deciding to make changes. Just like God sent Moses to go show them the way. Remember, they had never been to the promised land before. They had no idea. They grew up in Egypt. You know the story? When Joseph and his brothers sold him into slavery and to the Midianites, and the Midianites sold Joseph into slavery, and he ended up in Egypt in Potiphar's house. And later on, you know, there was a famine, and you know, Joseph had this dream, and you know the story of Genesis, when you know the Pharaoh put him in charge, and then his brothers came to buy food, and later on, obviously, the whole family comes over, and now they multiply, and they're now in Egypt. So when God told them, I'm going to take you to the promised land, they had no idea where they were going. Just like for us, God is saying there is a heaven. We've never been there. But guess who has been? Jesus. He came from there. And that's why he says to us, you know what? I am the way. I'm going to show you the way to heaven. Because he's already been there. All this ideology that, oh yeah, all roads lead to heaven is a bunch of rubbish. Only Jesus knows the way there. And he has come into this world and taking us out of our bondage of sin and leading us as we make our way to our promised land, which is heaven. And I can't wait to get there. I think about heaven every single day. Because that's my destination. That's your destination. If you and I will stay faithful to the very end. And God calls us to trust him and to live by faith as we make this journey, just like he did with them. And just like with Moses and Aaron, God also provides for us, even today, spiritual leaders to help us along the way. The question is, are we listening? Are we learners? Or are we just sitting there waiting for people to spoon feed us and to tell us? You know, it's amazing to me that you and I have this book that we call the Bible. And, you know, a lot of us have it on our phones. And we need to get in there and dig in and learn and get to know this God and get to know what God expects of us. God has saved you and me for a reason. God didn't just save us so that we can just come in and just sit in the chair and warm the pews. No. God has awesome plans for your life. And so God has given us great spiritual leaders to help us and to lead us along this journey. And God expects us to obey him and to live by his word that he has given to us. And so I want you to imagine yourself back in Egypt in the 13th century. You are in bondage. You've given up hope. You've been crying out to God for hundreds of years. And then finally God says, you know, now it's time. I'm going to lead you out of bondage. That's the story we're about to start taking apart. Again, the similarities between their exodus and ours is there's several. They were slaves in Egypt, who were slaves to sin. He sent them a deliverer in Moses. Our deliverer is Jesus. Their promised land was Canaan. Ours is heaven. Again, spiritual leaders were given to us along the way. Forgive my typo there. Okay? And faith is essential for this journey, for both journeys. Okay? Because remember, like we saw in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who trusts him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so, like for them and for us, even along this journey, God is going to provide for us through the entire journey. And that's why I don't fret about stuff. And that's why I don't worry about stuff. And that's why you don't need to worry about stuff. Because let me tell you something. The God that saved you is big enough to take care of all your needs. What you're going to need from God next year, next month, next week, he already knows. And so we have nothing to worry about. The God that has brought you this far is not going to abandon you now. He's not that kind of a God. God will bring to completion if you allow him. Okay? Just make sure you're not rebellious. God will bring to completion what he has started. And so, here are the major events in Exodus. Obviously, we see oppression and then multiplication. And then we read about the call of Moses. And then we're going to see the plagues. There were 10 of them. Again, if Pharaoh had just relented the very first time, he wouldn't have gone through all that stuff. But you know what? As humans, we can be very stubborn at times. And, God rained down all kinds of, you know, calamities upon them. Then eventually let them go. And then we read about the Passover right after that. And you're going to see how that is very similar to what Jesus did for us in the New Testament. And then the crossing of the Red Sea, one of my favorite passages about faith and deliverance in the entire Bible. And I love it. So I can't wait to get to that point. You go, boy, that's going to preach. But anyway, and then after that, we see them complaining, and then God providing water. He's providing manna, he's providing quail. And again, the whole time they're grumbling and they're complaining, okay? I hope we're going to learn so that we don't make the same mistakes that they made. And then obviously, right after that, they're given the law and the covenant on Mount Sinai. And then unfortunately, just like us, and we're very similar to them, you know, they were struggling with idolatry. You know, Aaron didn't stand up when he was supposed to and just allowed people to run roughshod over him. They produced that golden calf, and God was mad. God was upset. So much so that, you know, the two tablets of stone that contained the Ten Commandments that Moses had come down the mountain with, he smashed them, you know. And then he went up again, you know, to go get quote-unquote new copy, so to speak. The last part is the worship regulations that we're going to read about. And so in Genesis chapter 50, it says, Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Makar, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid. And then you must carry my bones from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. This is the end of, obviously, Genesis chapter 50. And like I mentioned earlier, several centuries have gone by between Genesis chapter 50 and Exodus chapter 1. All right? And Joseph tells his brothers, I mean, he was one of the youngest ones, and it seems as if, you know, he was one of the first ones to die. But when he was dying, he said, you know what? I'm about to die. He says, God will come and take you out of this place. And he refers back to the promise that God had made on oath to Abraham and to Isaac and to their father Jacob. And what's so encouraging to me about this whole passage, even this little passage here, is the fact that God always keeps his word. God told Joseph that, you know what? I'm going to fulfill my promise that I made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. That yes, these people are going to be enslaved, but I will come and take you from this place. And even God told, Abraham that same thing in Genesis. He said, where is that? You know, you got your Bible. Go do some Bible study. It's in there. When God says, you know, your descendants will be slaves in a land not their own. But after 400 years, I will come to their rescue. And so Joseph is repeating the same thing. God always keeps his word. And that's how I know that I'm in the right place. That's how I know that I'm, quote unquote, I'm following the right God. Because God always keeps his word. And says, when the time comes, for when God comes to take you out of this place, don't leave me buried here. I want you to take my bones. And guess what? They did it. And we're going to read about it when that time comes. Again, this is the flow of Exodus. We see the immigration at the end of Genesis. They came into the land of Egypt, and then they multiplied, and then there's oppression. Then obviously God comes to rescue them. Then we read about God giving them the law, the Ten Commandments, plus many other laws. Because remember, they were becoming a nation, okay? A people that were God's very own. And so this is the flow. God started to fulfill the promise he had made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And also in chapter 15, verse 13. When God says, know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. And they will be enslaved and mistreated there. And then later on in verse 16, it says, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here. For the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Okay? I just quoted Genesis chapter 15 from verse 13. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take me for us to go through this book. Okay? Because again, I just allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. All right? And so I don't know if this is going to take us into September. If it does, then so be it. It's okay. We're not going anywhere. We're not running anywhere. Okay? And I believe that we're going to learn a lot. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't started already, to start reading the book of Exodus. All you need to do is like maybe three or four every day for your quiet time. Just read it. You know, if you want to take notes, that's fine. But just read it so that when I start breaking it down, okay, you've at least seen it. You've read something to that effect. Okay? And I honestly believe that by the time we're done with Exodus, you're going to appreciate your salvation a whole lot more. Because we're going to see ourselves in their lives, in their journey. And to me, the exciting thing is we're serving the same God. The same I am who I am. Every single day when you get on your knees or when you're going to pray and walk or you're reading your Bible, you are coming before the same God. that called Moses to deliver his people. And to me, it is that is just awesome to know that we can draw close to this God. We can know this same God, a God who doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? And to experience the new life that God has given to us. That at one time, yes, we were in bondage to sin, but we are no longer in bondage to sin. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And that, in a nutshell, my brothers and sisters, is the book of Exodus. Okay? So all this today has just been introduction. God willing, next Wednesday, we'll start in chapter 1 and start breaking it down. And so what I want us to do right now is to go into our breakout rooms. Church is not over. Please do not sign off. I want you to go. I want us to go into our breakout rooms, and I want us to talk about Exodus. What you're looking forward to, or maybe something you've learned already, whatever. But let's have some great time of fellowship in our breakout rooms as we begin. Hopefully, to take this book apart tonight. I need to stop sharing my screen.